Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. The gang is back. We are going to hit a little button here, and I'm going to turn everything around. Where is it, Jeff? Where the heck is it? I don't know where it is.
Don't put this on me, Larry.
Oh, okay. We'll just do this. Yeah, I got my video toaster.
This is some like 1990s news stuff going on right now. Here comes the weather flying in.
I got some good video toaster action going on here. But anyway, hey, look. This. Hey, look, Jeff, it's Rebecca.
Welcome back.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Welcome back, Rebecca. You've been on hiatus for a couple weeks. You've been busy. You've been traveling. You've been eating at, you know, New York's finest delis, and it's good to have you back.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be back. I took a couple weeks off to go visit some friends, caught a nice winter cold, but I've been eating a lot and recovering, so I'm back. And just in time for the holidays.
Hopefully everybody had a good... We had a good Thanksgiving.
Well, I want to welcome Rebecca back, but I also want to welcome your mom back. And we actually were wondering over the past couple of weeks, has she been watching the show even when you're not on? Or because we've been conducting the show as if she is watching.
Yeah, we've been behaving ourselves as best we can.
That's so sweet, but I can let you know she does not watch it when I'm not on. Okay, well,
you didn't need to tell me that. I didn't need to know that.
Rebecca's mom, I know you're watching now. We're crushed. We're crushed. Jeff and I are crushed. So,
welcome back.
I can't wait for you guys to meet her someday.
Yeah, I think we should arrange that the next time you come back to Seattle. You're still in New York. Looks like you've moved a little bit. You got a little bit of a new set going on there, right?
Yes, I'm in a slightly bigger but still very small New York apartment, but it's quite nice. Like,
wow, look at that!
Around the corner from Cat's Deli. Yeah, there's a lot of good food. I'm very happy, but it's been pretty chilly. I think it's supposed to snow today.
Oh, that's well.
You realize we record this around lunchtime, so please save it. I don't want to hear it.
Sorry, I'll refrain. Yeah.
Now, Rebecca, I know when you and I chatted when you moved to New York earlier this year, we were talking about a couple things, and one of them was the Rockefeller Christmas tree. Have you gone over there to take a look at it yet?
No, I'm actually going in 2 days, though, just because I've been a little bit sick. I've been mostly just staying at home and eating. Good. But I'm doing all the Christmas stuff this weekend before I come back to the West Coast next week. So,
are you getting your matzo ball soup from Katz's since you're not feeling well?
Yes, I actually did get their matzo ball soup. It was pretty good. It was a little on the salty side, but I'm a big fan of matzo ball soup.
All right. Well, who isn't? It's music to our ears. Yeah.
I'm just very sad right now. I'm very sad.
I know. I wish I could bring some home for you.
Yes, that would be great. I'm very happy for you.
It's good to have everybody back. We got a big week this week. Of course, today, as we sit here and record this, you can see up on my screen in the back here, that's Halo Infinite. Now, we've been playing the multiplayer for a few weeks now, but today, as we record this, and we're pushing the show out a little early because the Game Awards are tomorrow, or they've already happened, depending. We're pushing this show out a little early, A, because the Game Awards, we don't want to talk about them when they haven't happened. We don't know what's going to happen. More importantly, Halo Infinite campaign available. Yay!
We started recording. We're like an hour after it started, after you know the game became available at 10 a.m. Pacific. And I've been sitting here on the title screen ever since. When we're done this show,
it's okay listening to the music. Play. Yeah.
So it could be, this might be a 5-minute show.
We don't know. But it's funny is, and Rebecca, I don't know if you had access to this, but Jeff and I had access to an earlier build of the campaign, and we discovered shortly after playing it, Jeff tipped me off because I was playing it and I was having a great time. I was about an hour in and Jeff's like, hey, FYI, saves don't transfer over to the final version and there's no achievements. I'm like, okay, put the controller down. We're done.
So basically did the same thing. Played enough to know that I'm going to want to 100% this game. We put it out for the previewers and the reviewers so they could, you know, play the completed game, but it just didn't have the achievements connected. And I mean, I live for that stuff. So, I really enjoyed watching the reviews and the deep takes, and some of them were like 30, 40 minutes of listening to like this deep analysis, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But now it's time for us to all play it ourselves.
Can we talk about the biggest crime right now that I'm actually a little upset about is that, Jeff, you and I have played quite a bit of the multiplayer. Rebecca, where have you been? We haven't played at all. I mean, I've seen you playing a little bit.
Okay.
But I want to know what's going on there. So fess up.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Give me a break. I have been playing, but we are on different time zones. Okay. And plus, like, I think that I tend to play like a little bit earlier in the day these days.
Okay, that's fair.
I feel like I'm playing around like 7, 8 PM my time, which is like immediately after or still kind of during the workday for you guys. So
okay.
I'm very down to schedule don't tell my boss, but I'm very down to schedule a like during the workday session and we can get
well, it's a team building. Look, we work in the games industry. This is absolutely legitimate game research.
Yes. I agree. Thank
well, look, or on a weekend day, we can play during the, well, you're usually out. You have a life and we don't.
Yeah.
And so every night we've been playing, I mean, literally every night.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love it. And I don't think I've ever been this much into Halo multiplayer, like going back to maybe Halo 2, and which is just the highest compliment I can give. So anyway, I think it's fair to say if you jump on and it's probably after 8 p.m. Pacific, I'm probably on. But we should schedule something. I'd love to play along with you because this has been now like my new catch up with everybody that I haven't talked to. I feel like it's brought me closer to people that I sort of lost touch with over the pandemic, which is because we're all playing it. Every time I log on, I'm like, oh, who do I want to talk to tonight? That's who I'm just going to jump in the game.
There we go. And then Jeff and I have, and just so you know, Rebecca, Jeff and I also know a few people over at 343, so we can pull in some ringers into the match.
They're not that great. The people we're playing with are not.
No. I'm talking
not QA.
Like Unicheck is pretty good. Oh. Lennox, right?
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yes.
I would hope that Unicheck is good.
He's frightening. Yes. He's a machine. So
the people we're playing with are like, oh, I worked on the website, and it's and so that does not confer upon you like amazing skills.
Yes.
Good players, good, but not like we need to play with Unicheck because.
But we also spend a lot of time. We also spend a lot of time, at least Jeff and I do, when some of those folks are in the game party or the fire team. Hey, can you fix this in the game? And they've got a whole long list, and you'll hear about that later on in the show. I've got an interview with Joe Staten, who I've known for a long time. He's going to touch on a little bit of that, and he'll also talk about the campaign. So we're excited about that. So that's, I mean, that really, I'm trying to figure out. That's kind of what I'm playing right now. Like Rebecca,
When you guys are playing, which game types are you playing? Like, what kind of matchmaking?
It depends. I mean, I don't want to speak for Jeff, but we go in, if we've got a full squad of four people, we'll go into quick play because it's 4v4. Sometimes if we're not feeling like that, we'll just roll into big team battle, BTB. So it's kind of a toss-up, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I really just jump back and forth. Big team battles, I think, there's a little bit of cover there. Like, if you're not playing great, you could still contribute to big team battle. Sometimes when I'm trying to get a challenge or something like that, but quick play, when we have four people, we know we're going to be able to coordinate. There's something very satisfying about like tactically, like having a game plan together. It's a little harder with big team battle to get everyone aligned. And the chaos is really, for me at least, part of the fun. And those brilliant individual moments that happen within that. But really just down for whatever.
Yeah, it's just at the end of the day, it mixes it up because it's different. Like when they had Fiesta in the hoppers, we played Fiesta. But look, anything, we're just going in there. We're just it's just ridiculous. We're just going in and we're having fun. So we're going in and having fun. Rebecca, what have you been playing? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about the Halo multiplayer, but have you been swinging over to the Minecraft scene or what else are you checking out?
I actually did do some pretty major reconstruction on my Minecraft house. And then I really silly to say this, but I didn't save it. And I switched over. I was playing it while Infinite was installing. And I lost all of the construction that I had been doing. So I'm a little bit bitter and I might not jump back to Minecraft for a hot minute now. But I have been playing Halo multiplayer. It's been pretty good. I've actually been doing big team battle more than I thought I would. Like in the past, it hasn't been my cup of tea, but I found that when I've played Slayer, cause I've been playing by myself and just doing matchmaking online, I feel like I've been going up against a lot of squad, like people who are squatted up. And so it's like, you're at that disadvantage if you are just a bunch of individuals.
Yep.
Plus I also really like, I can't explain it. I don't like Capture the Flag. It's my least favorite game mode. And then if you go into quick play, you can't filter it out. Unless I'm mistaken.
No, you can't.
Like, it's kind of, one of, so I feel like I've been playing a lot of Capture the Flag when I go into quick play and I'm like, darn it, this again.
How come, how come you don't like it? Just curious.
I'm not the biggest fan either.
Okay.
Don't make her feel bad.
No, I'm not going to feel bad. I'm just
No, it's okay. He's just asking why. I think because as an individual, it's hard to play capture the flag because you have some people who kind of like myself. I just want to, I mean, this makes me sound psychotic. I just want to shoot someone. I don't really care about the objective as much, but you have to kind of like designate roles like, you know, okay, this person is going to go for the flag. This person's going to guard them.
Well,
these people are going to kind of help keep them off, defend the flag.
Like. Yeah. I mean, to your point, we played last night, we played big team battle. And I know what you said, this was in quick play, but we played big team battle and capture the flag on one of the larger maps. And Jeff, when our friend was sitting back on defense and he was wrecking it, right, Jeff? You were just,
we finished top two in the leaderboard. I enjoy denying joy to other people.
Oh, so much.
So it's like, you think
much.
You got this?
I can
this?
Confirm that.
There's right. It's like, oh, you think you're going to bring this home? How about this? And, you know, then that was me being.
But you also take it the extra level where you're like, you're kind of stealth. You let them pick up the flag to get that adrenaline rush of, I just got the flag. And then you swoop in and bam.
As soon as they turn around. Yeah.
I'm
imagining that they're like, what happened? Like, that's what I want. It's sort of, I don't know. I just enjoy that part of it. And it took a long time because capture the flag is just not generally something I really enjoyed. And I found it more, especially on the big team battles, being able to be that spoiler just provides me, maybe I'm psychotic too. It provides me that joy in being able to like sort of defend the house. And I don't know. I like it.
All right. Well, anyway, so we're all playing Halo, and now we're going to be playing Halo Infinite, the campaign for the next multiple days. Looking forward to that. And I'm going to, you know, I'm traveling, you know, I know Jeff, you're not going. And I know Rebecca, you're not going down to the Game Awards on Thursday, but I'm going to be down there. So I think I'll take my device with me so we can, so I can at least play a little bit on the plane and whatnot.
Do we want to talk about the Game Awards? Do we want to, you know, talk about...
You know, is this hashtag Halo was robbed, or excuse me, hashtag Forza was robbed?
Forza, I mean, should Forza have been in the game of the year? I mean, look, the judges pick what the judges pick, and there's no collusion or anything there. They're just individually put in where, and, you know, they might be, they put in what they put in. It is what it is. But in the People's Choice, or the Player's Voice Award, it's now narrowed down to the final three, and that final three, I believe it's down to, they're to the final five, and Forza Horizon 5 is in there. Halo Infinite is in there. It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, and Resident Evil Village. I cannot complain about any of those games being in, you know, final contention for Game of the Year. Cause these are my favorite gaming experiences of the year. I haven't played Dread yet. I'm saving that for Christmas. I have a trip coming up, but these are the games everyone's been talking about that we've been enjoying. And so the players are being heard. And right now, as we speak, Halo Infinite has a healthy lead of 36%. So might take back the player's voice. But I think this is one of those things where it really is like the nominations are what's most interesting. Where it ends up, it ends up. It's not going to change your life or anything like that. Obviously, if you made the game, you want to win, of course. But there were some really interesting categories, and this was just a great year, I would say. You know, when we came in, I know certain games, their timelines might have moved and things from last year moved into this year. But at the end of the day, some really, really cool games.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, we've had a heck of a year with Psychonauts and Flight Simulator, and, you know, the list goes on. I mean, I think we're up for 20 awards in these across the categories, the Xbox Game Studios titles.
20 nominees. That's the most of any publisher. And then I did see an opinion piece on, I think it was on gamesindustry.biz, which says Xbox is the game publisher of 2021. Obviously, it's great for everyone. I love, you know, even if you don't have a console and you're playing on PC, that you get to play these games. But overall, a great year to be an Xbox fan.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of really good titles that were up for different indie titles this year. I think a bunch of them, we actually had them on the show. But I noticed like It Takes Two, 12 Minutes. I mean, we didn't have those ones on the show, or maybe
we did. Yeah, we did. I did
Sable. Okay, nice. Yeah, Artful but Escape there were a lot of really good well. Indie games that came out this year, too. Oh, right, Artful Escape. Yeah.
Did you play the Artful Escape, Jeff? Yes. Did you finish it? Rebecca, did you finish it?
Mm-mm, I didn't.
I did.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the most interesting. Well, remember we interviewed Johnny Galvatron a few weeks back.
You interviewed Johnny Galvatron. You just recovered from that interview.
I remember that one, yeah.
He was amazing, and I had just beaten the game right before that. And for some folks, I mean, this was definitely one of easily top five, like most memorable game.
Yeah.
Because like, I never really played anything like it. And there's a few folks that I've talked to, like Gary Witta over at Kind of Funny XCast, where he said this is his game of the year. There's really just nothing like it's an experience more than you would just call it just a game. And it was nominated for best score, best music, best art direction. It's part of Xbox Game Pass. I want to say I beat it in 4 hours, maybe two or three different sessions sitting down, got most of the achievements. Highly recommend it. It's just, there was a lot of, like you said, Rebecca, interesting indie experiences. I love that the soundtrack for Sable was by Japanese Breakfast, who is having had an incredible year.
Yeah.
Then Deathloop, I'm just looking now, best performance.
Deathloop, yeah, like, of course.
Good luck choosing this. Giancarlo Esposito was nominated for Anton Castillo.
A friend of the show.
There, and then two of the nominees, yes, two of the nominees for from Deathloop, the actor who played Colt Vaughn and Juliana, if you played that, which was such a good game. And those two just dominated. Like, how do you choose between the two of them?
Yeah.
And then Lady Dimitrescu also got the invitation for her role, which was very memorable as well. So I don't know. I'm going to look back at 2021. It's just like, wow, there were so many good things, and there's still games that I still haven't gotten to play yet that I'm hoping over Christmas to be able to catch up to.
Well, the good news is that, you know, Jeff, and we've all been in the games industry for quite some time, but it's usually after a console gets released, you know, it's usually the second year and the third year where things really start to, start to really understand, the developers understand the hardware and they start to do interesting things. So this wasn't even the sophomore year. We just passed the freshman year of the hardware. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yes. But most of the games that were nominated, I think almost all the Game of the Year titles were cross-generation.
Yes.
And I think it shows that it wasn't just, while Forza Horizon 5, I think, is still the best-looking game ever created. It's always a moving target.
Yep.
And it looks, of course, incredible on Xbox Series X. A lot of this was the story. It was the gameplay. And I think that it's less of that where, like, oh, the launch titles are slow and it takes a while because everyone's playing on different devices and it wasn't a generational switch for PC yep. players. I mean, they might've gotten a new graphics card in the last year or two if they could get a hold of one. But I played Deathloop on a last generation card on a 2080, I want to say. And so I was playing at 1440p, still one of my favorite games of the year. Absolutely a top five game of the year. And then Death's Door, which has been mentioned as a one of the best games of the year.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that one.
Two people made that. I think we had an interview earlier last year.
Fun game.
Absolutely fantastic game. And again, and it looked good and it was stylized, but it wasn't just about the horsepower or necessarily understanding. Yes, I think I agree with what you said that 3 years into the generation is when you see people really start to push the new hardware as far as it can go and can do amazing things. But this was not, like you said, a sophomore slump year by any stretch of the imagination.
No. All right. Can we take a break now? We got to get into the interview because I got Joe State in this interview, which I think people are going to hear. Jeff, you want to say something?
Yeah.
More Halo.
Well, like you said, we're celebrating with the special show. It is Halo Infinite campaign launch day. And we're going to be speaking with one of the most prominent people behind Halo Infinite's campaign, the head of creative, Joe Staten, one of the nicest guys in the industry. And I can't wait to hear what he's got to say about the journey you're going to be taking with Master Chief.
Exciting day. Halo Infinite is now available in most areas. Joining us today, Joe Staten. Joe, good to see you.
Larry, always good to see you. How you been?
I've been great. Last time I had you on here, I think it was back in June or July. We were talking about
it.
It was a ways ago. We were talking about a little bit about the campaign, what you had revealed now. But here we are. The game for most regions, depending upon when you're listening to this, is available now. Congratulations on the launch.
Thank you very much. It is indeed rolling out all around the world. People are probably already playing the campaign. that just super exciting. Also a huge relief for everybody on the team that we've reached this moment, but more than relief, definitely a lot of excitement and pride on the team for getting this game done and getting it done well. So I hope everybody's having a fun time playing.
Well, it's interesting because we've had a little bit of the taste of Halo for a few weeks now when you kind of shadow dropped the multiplayer for the 20th anniversary, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been working on the Halo franchise since the very beginning. You certainly have worked on other things, but you were there at the beginning and you used to live in Chicago when Microsoft bought Bungie and then we moved y'all out, right?
Yes. I was one of the original Chicago gang that came out in that first and that acquisition of Bungie by Microsoft long ago, back in 2000, I believe. Worked on the original Halo games, took a little break from Halo after Reach, and then came back for Infinite. And really, that was why we released the multiplayer early. One of the reasons was just to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Xbox and Halo and have just a wonderful surprise for fans. Although, almost wasn't a surprise over that weekend, that last weekend, there was a whole bunch of stuff that went down where it started to leak, but we were glad we kept it largely under wraps until that day. And then, of course, it was a beta, too, and we really wanted to treat it as such, you know, get feedback from players, test out new things, make adjustments. And, we've already made adjustments to multiplayer. We'll keep making adjustments. So it was a really good, fun time for fans, but also a super useful beta period for us as a studio.
Your role in the Halo universe is so significant, and I want to thank you on behalf of all the gamers. You know, Halo was the reason that so many people bought the original Xbox, and it was one of the reasons that so many people signed up for Xbox Live with Halo 2. When you, as somebody who's in charge of a lot of the Halo world, how did you think about this single campaign experience and then splitting it off, you know, now with the Halo 2 multiplayer, and certainly multiplayer has been its own thing, but how do you look on both sides of the fence on the single player versus the multiplayer from your creative standpoint?
Well, it is definitely a full-time job to keep an eye on both sides of those things, but I'm just one person on a really big, super talented team. And fortunately, I work with a lot of great people who absolutely are paying close attention to each individual experience. This time around, multiplayer, sure, it still is Halo. There's still a shared sandbox of weapons and vehicles, equipment, abilities between campaign and multiplayer. But this is the first time we've gone completely free to play for multiplayer as well. And so that really does make a big difference in terms of just how we look at the game, how we need to think about player progression, how we think about our playlists, all kinds of things. Really, once you invite in a big audience through free to play, it really does change fundamentally a lot of the ways that you look at how to operate that side of Halo. But it still is this core Halo experience. It still has that super tight, fun gameplay that everybody expects from a Halo game. So in many ways, it feels the same as it ever was from a creative point of view in terms of trying to keep it true to that core Halo feeling, that core Halo experience. But there are new concerns that we have as well, new things we got to keep our eye on.
We look at the campaign, which, as we said, is out and available now. It's available to everyone on Game Pass, so Xbox Game Pass, PC Game Pass, on cloud. So it's available a variety of ways. What's it been like working on this franchise from a storytelling perspective, and how have you evolved Chief over the years, Master Chief over the years, the protagonist?
Well, one of the wonderful things that happened before I joined the Halo Infinite team is they had already dug in and really set down all the foundations for the Halo Infinite story. So me coming on board, yes, in the past, I've done a lot of writing, done a lot of cinematic work, done a lot of that storytelling work for Halo games. But when I arrived, the story was essentially set. And what I did is I came in and helped the team double down on parts of the story that were already working really well and add additional things on top to just plus up what they already had going. So for me personally, it was a slightly different way to join the Halo storytelling effort, but it was a really wonderful way too, because when I first started playing the campaign, I instantly recognized this story feels very much like a Halo story. This team is doing something really novel and interesting with it. They found this balance between telling a epic story, but also an intimate story too, in the relationship between the Master Chief and the weapon. You see a new side to Chief that you haven't really seen before. So Yeah, I just was super excited to jump in with a very talented team and see the work that they had done and just do what I can, do what I could to help them find ways to make it even better.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the chance, and to be clear, as we record this, I've only played the first level. I haven't had the chance to complete the game. And I think, I don't know if I told you this story, but I famously have told this story many times in the community, how when your team was working on Halo 2, yep. I had come over to your offices. I don't know if I told you the story. I'd come over to your offices in Millennium, if you remember that. And mm-hmm. I was waiting. I think I was meeting with Brian Gerard Sketch. And I was in one of the conference rooms, and I mistakenly looked at the whiteboard, and there were major moments on the campaign. So I got it spoiled for me in a very rare way. So that's I've been funny. Super sensitive to not, like, I know you guys have done some take home and tweet. I really haven't wanted to see it until, frankly, this week, because I know that it's mostly done, because I respect your storytelling and what the engineers and what the artists and the storytellers have done. And I want to experience the way you want me to experience it. I don't want to have bugs in it.
You know what? I apologized from long ago when we ruined the whole Halo 2 experience for you. And there are some pretty big spoilers in that story, to be clear, just with playing the Arbiter for the first time, all those kinds of things. So I'm glad that you've gone in largely spoiler free. That shows very serious discipline, Larry, on your part, to just like not learn anything, not watch anything, just go in blind. I mean, Halo always has a big spotlight on it. There are always leaks. Right. There are always spoilers out there. And I know that's frustrating for fans when you're a fan of the franchise and you just want to go in cold. That's amazing. I'm glad you've been able to keep hermetically sealed and not really been exposed to some of that stuff, because we don't want to ruin it for people. We do want people to go in and enjoy it their own way for the first time. So yeah, but now it's out for everybody. So I think it's spoilers are now completely fair game. So you better play quick, Larry. You better keep on pushing through the campaign.
I know. So it's interesting, because when I was playing the campaign for the first level or so, all of a sudden Power Seeds made sense. You know, I've been playing Power Seeds in the multiplayer for 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden I'm like, that's what it is. So that's not really a spoiler.
See, that's that deep lore, Larry. That's that deep lore, that connective tissue that all ties it all together.
When you look at the game here, it's an interesting. It's so different now than it was. You know, when Halo 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, when they all launched, because then it was like you ship it and forget it and you move on to the next game, maybe a patch. But here it's going to live on for a little bit in terms of, I'm sure you guys are going to tweak it a little bit and make it better. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we now have this constant feedback loop. I mean, I know you're on Twitter. Yeah. You and I've chatted on Twitter, and I'll put your Twitter handle up here. You know, what's that feedback like? Loop like for you as somebody who's so close to the franchise and has been so close to the franchise for a long time?
Well, Halo has always been about the community and our fans. You know, if it weren't for the millions of people all around the world that play Halo games and enjoy those games, I mean, none of us would have jobs on the Halo team. Like I learned very early on in my career that I and other people might be making these games, but we're not making them for ourselves. We're making them for people who play. So I've always really enjoyed that community conversation as Halo's gotten more popular, as whole new generations of people have jumped in, over 20 years, and the audience has grown bigger and bigger. It has been more challenging to have a conversation with our community, because it's just so diverse in many ways. We have fans who've been there since the beginning. We have fans that are just joining in now, today, perhaps even through Game Pass or on PC, experiencing Halo Infinite for the first time, and just navigating those waters and trying to really get a handle on what those important issues are for the community. Some days it's tough to really tease that out. Some days it's really easy. Like when people tell us, hey, your battle pass could use improvements. It's very easy to say, we agree, and we are working on those improvements, which we are. We've already shipped a couple rounds of progression tweaks, and we're going to keep on looking at that and come back in January after we've all taken a couple weeks off and continue to dig in and work and make things better. So, yeah, I mean, I would way rather hear from our fans and our players what they clearly like and what they clearly don't like, because as a designer, as a creative person, now I have something to work with. Now I understand. And of course, we also look at more hard quantitative data like game telemetry or user research data to help us really get a well-rounded sense of what needs to be fixed and addressed. But like I said, Halo has always been about the community of Halo fans. We've always made this game for them, and we're certainly not going to stop doing that now. I think you said something like we might have a couple updates planned or like a few things to do. Larry, Halo is infinite. Yes. Halo keeps on going on and on forever. So kidding aside, it's never really going to stop. This community conversation is always going to keep going. And I'm super happy to be part of it and keep learning and hearing what needs to be better.
To be
crystal clear, because I think sometimes people in our community hear like, oh, they're learning, they're listening. Like, don't they already know the stuff that needs to get fixed? And the answer is, yeah, we got a pretty good idea at this point of the things that we haven't done. Like, we still have promises we need to keep. We need to ship campaign co-op. We need to ship Forge. You know, we need to keep digging in on the free-to-play side and making that experience even better than it is today. So I don't want any fans who are watching this to think, there's not a clear picture on our side about that list of things we need to go after. We got a good list. And when we come back in 22, we're going to keep on digging in and making it happen.
When people are, new Game Pass subscribers, or maybe someone new to Xbox or maybe new to xCloud, they're looking at Halo and they've heard of Halo, but they haven't really played all the games before. Do you recommend that someone goes back and starts with the Master Chief Collection and goes 1, 2, 3, 4, Reach and so on and so forth? Or do you say, you know what, jump in and do your, roll your own adventure, as it were? What do you recommend?
Right. Well, the good news is I think Halo Infinite is a great place to enter the Halo universe if you never played a Halo game before. Sure, will it help to have played previous Halo games? Will you maybe have a deeper understanding of the world or some of the conflict? Yeah, absolutely. But if you know nothing about the Halo universe, I really think if you don't want to play any other Halo games, you can jump in with Halo Infinite, get up to speed really quickly, and have a really fun time. You won't feel like you're missing too much of the story that's already been told. For people who who play Halo Infinite maybe and are curious about the other Halo games, nothing really makes me happier as a Halo developer to know that there exists this well-curated collection of games, many of which have been up-resed to much higher graphical quality, and that all lives in the Master Chief Collection. I mean, how...
Inside of Game Pass.
inside of Game Pass. Like, it's all sitting there for you to play. And how fortunate are we as developers that... people have gone in and spent time to improve games that are in some cases like almost 20 years old, or literally 20 years old in the case of Halo 1. So if you've got the time jumping into Game Pass, playing Master Chief Collection, I highly recommend it. They're very good games, I believe, impartially, well worth your time. But it's not a requirement to go back and play those games. I guess I would recommend, if you've never played a Halo game, jump in and play Halo Infinite. If you love what you see, then start at the beginning, play all the Master Chief story and some of the other stories with Reach and ODST that have been told as well. There's just a lot of great hours of gameplay to go in and play.
I also want to congratulate you. First of all, shipping the game, always a big deal, so congrats on that. But also congratulations, this week a lot of the review embargoes have lifted. We're seeing the reviews. I mean, I think it was the Washington Post called it 10 out of 10, and there's been a lot of really, really remarkable ratings coming out. That's also got to feel really good that you're seeing that reception.
It is. I'm very thankful for the positive reviews. I hope that everybody on the Halo team feels pride and just maybe can breathe a sigh of relief. Shipping a big game like Halo can be incredibly stressful. Not can be. It is incredibly stressful for people on the team, especially folks who've been working on it for many, many years now. But what I love most about the reaction inside of 343 was we had a moment where everybody went, wow, that's amazing. Like, we breathed our sigh of relief. There was this moment of excitement. And then everybody just kept working on the game. Yeah. I said on Twitter, like, my favorite thing about the day when reviews came out is 9 a.m. bug triage kicked off as usual. The same people showed up. We looked at the open issues, what those things were that we were seeing in community sentiment or in our data. We had, a patch that we're planning to roll out for the game and, subsequent updates. And all of those wheels, all of that same process of people just continuing to dig in, do what's right for players, put in solid plans. I was just so impressed with the studio to be able to have a moment of excitement and then just be professional and get back to work. Now, that was a few days ago. We knew we still had to ship this game. So that was probably part of it. We're going to have a party with the whole studio tomorrow.
Right.
Just get together and give each other big hugs in a safe way and have a proper celebration. But yeah, it is an exciting moment for sure. But we also know it's the beginning of this journey that we're on with players, where we need to continue to make good on our promises, like I said earlier, and also deliver great seasons of new content. We're super fired up to do that.
Well, you should be. And I want to just recommend that folks, whether you talked about the Master Chief Collection, which is available in Game Pass now, which is an incredible collection of games, and it's frankly your resume in some regards.
That's true.
But with Infinite especially, is, you know, as gamers, we like to go through and get the achievements and get to the boss battle or what have you, kind of get through the... But I do this with a lot of these big titles, like all the Halo titles I've done, is just stop. Go through it. Take a moment. Look around. Enjoy the environment that Joe and his team have created, this amazing universe. And you know, just really soak it in and absorb the fact that there's artists that have worked many years of their lives to bring you that level. Don't run through it in 30 seconds. You know, just enjoy it. There's so much amazing work to soak in as gamers. And yeah, we're gonna have a great story. We're gonna have great combat moments and things like that. Yeah. But I like to kind of step back after the dust settles and after the purple blood has been spilled. Kind of just walk around and enjoy what you guys have built. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, Larry. And I mean, for all the artists on the team, all the designers on the team, everybody, engineers, I mean, I often remind the team, like, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter what your particular discipline is. We're all telling this story of Halo together. We're all creating this experience together. And that's really the wonder and magic of being on a game team, is just watching all these different kinds of people, you know, put together this unified experience. There's really nothing else like it, which is why I love working in this industry so much. I think Halo Infinite, in more than any other Halo game, allows you that opportunity to explore a vast world, to find little pockets of interesting artistic and design choices that every time I play the game, I always run into something completely different that I haven't seen before. I poke into a little corner of the world. I see something that's been set up by someone. And there's also a hugely dynamic and reactive sandbox too. So even like setups that you might find are always a little bit different, but it's this big, beautiful world with a day night cycle with, you know, ambient life running around, little space gophers and birds. And I mean, there's moments in Halo Infinite where you can just stop, take in the world, and just enjoy its beauty. Like you say, I think that's something that really sets this experience apart. There were certainly moments of pause and lower intensity in previous Halo games, but it was a fairly linear experience from mission to mission. Halo Infinite does have linear missions, but it also has these moments where you can just, sit back, relax, and just enjoy this beautiful world laid out in front of you with so much love and care by the people who built it.
And that's where they wanted to get. And I knew I needed to let you go because it's getting late and you need to get to celebrate. I also want to give a special shout out because we've seen it in the multiplayer and I've heard it in the multiplayer and I've heard it in the single player, is the audio team at 343. The audio is so, I mean, I'm not talking music. Yeah. Music is great, but I'm just saying all the sounds sound so good. I've got to get them on here. They just do such an amazing work job.
I mean, huge kudos to our audio team, sound designers, composers, everybody who worked on it on the audio side, our voice actors as well. I mean, I think that the whole audio experience this time around is just fantastic. I mean, Halo audio has always been a true hallmark of the game, but I think this time it's especially good. So that whole team deserves a big old pat on the back for a job incredibly, incredibly well done. And I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I mean, you can hear so much of it in the in the multiplayer that we've been playing for a few weeks, and just the way the weapons sound and the vehicle sound and the universe and the space go. I mean, the whole thing. It just feels so right. And it's one of those things that it's not, if it wasn't there, it would be so obvious, but when it's there, it just feels right. But anyway, Joe, I really appreciate your time today. It's always great to have you on. Congratulations to everyone at 343 launching Halo Infinite. Check it out in Game Pass now. And Joe, we'll get you on maybe next year in 2022 to talk about some of those updates. How's that sound?
That would be great. That sounds good. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Joseph, for joining the show. Everyone, Halo Infinite multiplayer and campaign available now to play by the time you're watching and listening to this.
Also on Game Pass. Also on Game Pass.
So while I was watching this interview, and it was a great interview, I was thinking about Rebecca's launch and how good it was, and I was
very where is this going?
I ended up ordering Chipotle, and where this all connects together Halo Infinite has a connection with Chipotle. So between now and December 31st, if you use the Chipotle app or you order online and you use Halo code 117, you get 5 challenge swaps, which if you're aiming for the challenges, sometimes you get one that's like, oh, it's sniper kills or something that I'm not going to get that. You can swap it out for something that is maybe more achievable for you. So we're huge Chipotle fans in this house. Big fan of the cauliflower rice. It's really good.
Can I give you my hack?
Yes, go.
My Chipotle hack?
Tell us.
No, this is great.
Yeah. Cheers. I've got one too. So let's see.
When I go there, I don't order the bowl or the burrito or the salad. I order the kids' meal. The kids'
How's
meal.
How's that hack?
Because it's most people don't think to order the kids' meal because it's a kid's. But those burritos are always so big and the bowls are so big. Sometimes I don't want all that food. I just want a nice, tidy sum. Rebecca, I think you agree with me. Maybe.
Do you see that face? No one's agreeing with you.
Okay.
My hack is to get you more food. And so what I do when I go to Chipotle is I'll get like half chicken, half steak, or half carnitas. And I feel like you get more than one. It's like 0.5 plus 0.5 equals like 1.5. So that's what I always split that's it actually. And you get that.
Well, I'm just going to tell you the reason I go.
That's what I do too. Yeah.
The reason I go my route is because you get some protein, you can get some rice or some salsa, the cheese, the whole thing. But you also get a tiny little bag of chips and a drink for $5.50. At least that's what it is in Seattle.
I didn't know you get chips with the kids.
You get this little tiny, cool. You get a tiny little bag, and it usually has like 6 or 8 in them, just enough so you're not sitting there dumping the whole bag down your throat. I'm telling you.
Their chips plus the hot salsa is just like,
I know.
I go into like, I black out and then I wake up and it's all gone.
I'm just telling you, that's the key is you get all of this stuff for five, at least again in Seattle, for $5.50. It's the only way to live.
All right. Well, I will just say, if you do order online.
That's a pretty decent hack.
Thank you.
Use code HALO117, no space, and you get those extra challenge slots. You'll get a code and you can pop it in and you get some extra challenge slots. You do routinely unlock those through your battle pass, but more is good because there's plenty of times where I'm just burning through and I'm like, nope, can't do that. There we go. We're there. There's also a Chipotle Challenger series that'll be going on this weekend. And there's been a lot of really cool competitions. There'll be a show match next Wednesday, and it's got some of the biggest names in multiplayer shooters, Tim the Tatman, Nadeshot, Cloaksy. So it will be really fun. We had a really cool one last week where we had Dr. Lupo and Legion. I know you're a big friend of the show, Jordan from Legion, who did very well, went pretty far in his show, and is a really cool competition there. I'm just reminded of one thing, actually, Larry. I got to see you this week because it's right next to the Chipotle in Seattle.
That's one of them.
Is the Razor store.
Ooh, Jeff and I opened the Razor store.
We went to the grand opening this weekend, and I ended up picking up this. The
full screen
official Halo Infinite headset. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like looking. Come on, Larry. Thank you for directing, Rebecca. I ended up picking.
I was so excited about it. I didn't even see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up the Razer Chiro Pro. They had all kinds of stuff. You know what was really cool about the store in general is for most of, I would say every controller that we've released in the last year, all of the series controllers, the red one, the Shock Blue one, the Forza Horizon 5 one, they had a charging base for each one of them. That one that matched perfectly. And so if you wanted to like look perfect and also to charge is functional.
Yeah, because it's got a rechargeable each one. It's got a rechargeable module that goes in back to replace that. So you just try. What's going on there? I can turn.
Sorry.
Lower your side.
I'm like, let me hit the mute.
Anyway, well, that thank you. That's right, Jeff. We had a good time at the Razer store. I got a nice note from Min Lee, the CEO of Razer, just thanking me for going out and supporting it. It was always good to hear from Min.
Quite the name drop here, Larry.
They're good. They're good friends of the show.
I went to the store. Larry, I got a nice note from the CEO.
I'm just telling you that's anyway, that we'll have to go down there when you get back to Seattle. We'll down the University District down near the University of Washington, Rebecca. We can go check it out down there. Nice. And as Jeff points out, that'd be cool. It's right next to Chipotle. We can go get the kids' meal and the chips and the drink.
It really is. Yes, sir. Or am I half and half?
Anyway, we got some news here. We got to get going here because I got to get on a plane to go to the VGAs to the Game Awards. So Jeff, why don't you want to get started? Actually, Rebecca, who's got the first news bit? Do you have it?
I can go first.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so this week, Garfield was revealed as a new character for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. So he'll be coming this Thursday, so tomorrow, by the time y'all listen to this.
Do you know what I have?
It's an Ann.
You know what I have?
You have a trailer. Here we go.
Let's talk. Let's not say it. Let's show it. Go ahead.
Patrick does not stand a chance here.
Are they just going to look hungrily at each other? Oh, so cute. But yeah,
you're also playing on a lasagna theme level.
I didn't even notice that. That's a good catch.
Yeah.
So Garfield, okay, so he comes with his own hungry level. It's perfect.
He's in a Pyrex
dish. I don't know. That doesn't look like a New York slice, though. It looks a little
cheesy. Yeah, looks like a saddle Seattle slice.
Yeah. But also this week, in honor of the TGA nomination... in honor of the TGA nomination this week for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, it's on sale for 30% off Thursday through Sunday. So if you haven't already checked it out, this would be a good time. And you can check out new Garfield character and level.
I feel like I just want to keep playing this, right?
It's pretty cute. It looks better than us.
Garfield
looks like he's in good shape.
Oh, Patrick's off the end. Boom. Yeah, you know what, Jeff? You called it. Showing Patrick off the end there. Anyway, thank you for that, Rebecca. That's kind of fun stuff. All right, what else we got? Jeffrey, you got some other headlines queued up over there?
So you're going to be flying down, presumably with other CEOs and glitterati to the Game Awards.
What about us?
I'll be sitting in coach with everyone else.
Well, you know what we'll be doing is enjoying the ID at Xbox Winter Game Fest demo. So this is part of... combining with the Game Awards, and we did this last year. So when you go to a industry event like GDC or E3, when we had everyone together, you would get to play games that were just early builds. They were demos. They were not something that was necessarily released to the public. And it might be a level or a vertical slice of a game or something like that. And that was one of the most fun parts, is to see something that was in progress and to see what it becomes. And now you get to do that at home. So we have uploaded over 40 demos of independent games. Now, these are like typical game demos. These are literally what you would play at something like a GDC showcase or something like that, or on the show floor at a PAX or a Gamescom. And so this is really going to show you sometimes a very early look at some games that are going to be coming out down the line from indie devs. There's a lot of really cool ones. We have our eyes on a few games like Loot River, Death Trash, which actually looks really cool, Blacktail, and Tale of Biston. These are and one more that has like this really cool looking whale. Nobody Saves the World. These are the games that we'll be talking about. This is, the next Death's Door might be in this.
Could be. Group. We just don't know.
And so try it out. And the best part is the creators of these games, they want to hear from you. So play. And we sort of connect to the different developers, give them their feedback. What did you like? What do you want to see more of? And it's really cool to be able to get this opportunity at home to try out all these different games. And again, there's 40 of them. So go for it.
All right. Nice.
I miss that, at PAX or at E3, like going and trying out the indie games. Because, you try out the AAA titles, like the people who are working at the booth, like they honestly don't really care. They're just trying to get you in and out as fast as possible. But the indie devs, like, they actually do, they kind of come in, they're like, hey, what
when
do
you
think?
When you walk up to a kiosk, it's usually the person who the art director, the developer, it's somebody really close to the game, if not the single person that's developing the game. So you're right, there is a great moment there too.
I miss that. Yeah.
You would just walk by and be like, oh, that game looks cool. Let me find out about it. And like you said, you find yourself talking to the game director. One of the games that we first showed when we first showed that first group of games from Xbox Series X and S was Chorus, a game about a sentient spaceship, and you do some cool dogfights and stuff like that. It's a space shooter. But that game is out now for Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S. Looks really cool. I've seen some really cool footage and some streamers playing it. So I wanted to make sure you keep an eye out for that. It's running, of course, at 4K 60, and it is available at a reasonable price of $39.99 from our friends at Deep Silver. Lastly, I'm going to call some updates, some very prominent updates. We know that new map for Warzone, that just released today.
Yep.
And so a lot of people are streaming that. This weekend was the beginning of Chapter 3 for Fortnite, where we saw some really cool stuff. We saw The Rock introduced, which was long been suspected. Spider-Man's in the game. It's just amazing how they're able to completely reboot the map in interesting ways. The whole map flooded, and you know, it was a cool event for everybody, and now everyone's jumping into Chapter 3. Every new chapter, I end up jumping in and buying a bunch of new skins because the way they integrate stuff into that world is just so cool. Lastly,
finally,
this year we celebrated the 20th anniversary of Xbox, 20th anniversary of Halo. It's the 30th anniversary of Bungie, who created those first few Halo games. And they're doing some really cool stuff within Destiny 2, where you can, Xur lets you, puts you to the test in a number of different interesting games. And you can basically loot around, Xur being the one who would always let you buy every week, show up on Thursdays, I want to say, and hang out for the weekend, and you could buy cool legendaries and exotics. So there's some really cool stuff happening now. There's an ode to the loot cave from the original Destiny.
Where I remember that,
Larry. So there's something really cool with that they've added. And then, and this was something I'm very excited about, they're bringing back the Gjallarhorn, which was like this crazy exotic rocket launcher. I was so happy when I got Gjallarhorn because I missed it the first time, and then I got it from Xur a couple months in, and that and Icebreaker were my two favorite Destiny 1 weapons. So it's back, it's got some new tricks, and that's all I need to hear to jump back into Destiny 2 because I want Gjallarhorn.
Bungie, Halo, we got all sorts of news this week. I'm looking forward to watching the or being in the Game Awards, so I'll be tweeting from that as well. So look for whatever happens at that will be pretty interesting. So got a lot to do this week. We'll be back next week. Next week's our final show of 2021 because we've got to do some things. So hopefully we can all reconvene here in the next week and kind of get back to kind of wrap up the year. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite games of the year, favorite moments of the year, and things along those lines. You guys have any final things before we wrap up?
No, just
sorry. Didn't mean to catch you off guard there.
My Xbox has been idling for so long that it turned off.
I know. I noticed that. Yeah. Go ahead, Rebecca.
I'm going to go play the campaign.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I'm curious to hear what people have been thinking of Halo Infinite multiplayer so far. If they have any tips, feel free to leave them in the comments.
Hit us up on social.
Otherwise, see you guys online maybe this weekend. Probably not. I have a lot of Christmas and New York plans, but we should find time to play together soon, though.
All right, we'll try to do that this weekend. For everybody else, have fun. Have fun, play fair this weekend. Enjoy Halo Infinite, whether it's multiplayer, single player, whatever game you're playing, have fun. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye, everybody.